Good morning. I'm going to read Psalm 139 from The Message. This is a psalm of David. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts first hand. I am an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I even start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I cannot take it in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To climb out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far west horizon, you'll find me in a minute. You're already waiting there. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night I am immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness is not dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they are all the same to you. Oh yes, you shake me first inside and then out. You inform me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvellously made. I worship in adoration, what a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. At all the stages in my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared, before I even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful, God, I'll never comprehend them. I could not even begin to count them, any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, go away with wickedness for good, and you murderers, out of here. All of the men and women who belittle you, God, infuriate with cheap God images. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all this good, godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Give a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done everything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life.
John chapter 6, verse 22. It's the story of the bread of life, because we're looking at Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. And I've taken it, it's the story that comes after Jesus walking on the water. So from verse 22. The next day, the crowds that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went to Capernaum in order to search for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one who has sent, he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from the heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father has given me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this the Jews began to grumble about him and said, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up even in the last day. It is written by the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. As we continue looking at the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." What does bread mean for us? Now, I love bread. I can eat a whole loaf if I was given chance. I like it in its various forms and how it comes and what it means. But this is much more than just bread. This is about everything. We used to talk in language about being the breadwinner in a family. When I was at college, we used to talk about living off the sweat of our frau, because the women were the breadwinners in our all-men batch. It's different nowadays, but that was the way that we survived in college. And we talk about, in the 60s, as bread being money. Some of you may remember that. I'm sure not many of you do. But what does bread mean for us? Is it food? Is it spiritual? Is it body of Christ, word of God? The everyday needs that we have as human beings, God wants us to ask for them daily. The Greek word bread is often used to cover all types of food. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, "Keep falsehood and lies away from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." It may even suggest our physical human needs. Give us our bread for today is about our needs for the day. Martin Luther, the Reformation starter, said that food includes food, home, work, health, relationships, peace, strength, hope. Everything that sustains us is bread. We must pray for our needs, not our greeds. Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread because God wants us to live in dependence on commitment and contentment and trust one day at a time. It's so very important that a believer knows intimately how much God knows us and knows our needs. Psalm 69 verse 5 says, "You know my folly, O God, my guilt is not hidden from you." And Psalm 139, as we had written to me, read to us, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." That's amazing. Now, Ruth and I have been married for 37 years this year. Sometimes she knows what I'm going to say before I say it. And for those of you in a similar relationship will know what that's like. But God knows our every word, our every thought, our every feeling. And he says, "I want you to be dependent on me." Those verses says, "You know, you know, you know." He knows us. And he knows what it's like to be us. Matthew 6 verse 8 says, "Do not be like them," that's the Pharisees and the hypocrites, "for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Your Father knows your bank balance. Your Father knows the contents of your larder and your fridge and your freezer. Too petty? Luke 12 verse 6 says, "Are not five sparrows worth two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows." True discipleship is acknowledging God knows our needs and asking from God all we need for that day. And the asking for one day at a time is an act of submission. Reflecting on the precarious lifestyle that many first century workers who were paid one day at a time, for whom a few days' illness could spell tragedy. Daily is a difficult word to translate in Greek, most likely meaning for the coming day. And thus Jesus instructs his disciples to pray, "Give us today our bread for the coming day." It may have sound redundant to Western readers, but by an urgent petition for those who live from hand to mouth. When I was little, I used to have packed lunch, not school dinners. I never used to take 10 days worth of packed lunch with me. Might look like it, but I didn't take 10 days of packed lunch with me. I took just enough for one day because I knew that if I came home that night, I would have food enough to eat. God provides us for the day that we have. We keep coming back because God is the one who fills our hands and fills our hearts and our minds. We don't pray, give us enough bread for the next 10 years. We pray, give us today what we need for today. And God delights in meeting our needs. Which of you, says Jesus, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The second thing that the believer needs to hold on to is that God delights in giving us what we need. He's given us this planet. He's given us all that we need to meet our needs. His design was that we would work to put food on the table and there enough to go around. Sadly enough, though, 90% of the world's wealth is owned by 5% of the world's population. Greed is sin. But God doesn't call us to be living an ascetic lifestyle. Only the rich young ruler was asked to give up his wealth. The rest of us are called to live simple lifestyles. That means that we're not weighed down by worldly things. And the way to achieve this is to see that we have to come back to God day by day to ask him for the things that we need. We are not to be weighed down. All you have is from God. Nothing you have is not from God. God has given. Jesus, echoing the story of manna in the wilderness, God gave Israel daily bread, not weekly, not monthly. If they tried to store it, it spoiled. Why? Because God was training them to trust him today. Imagine walking through a dark forest with an old lantern. Not one of these super bright torches you get today, but one of the old lanterns. It doesn't light the whole path, just the next step. You can't see tomorrow, but you can see enough to move forward now. And that's how God often works. He gives us light for the next step, not the whole journey. Many of us want God to give us a 5-year plan so we know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, the next month, the next year, the next 10 years. Jesus instead teaches us to trust him for the next 24 hours. Leonie, who is a friend of our church here, last week when she was preaching at the assembly, talked of the sending out of the 70, about how Jesus said to them to take nothing with them, no script, whatever that is. It's not clear in scripture what that is. But no script, no money, no food for the journey. He said, take nothing. Rely on God and his provision through others. God wants us to trust him. And then we worship when we ask for our needs. The idea of God giving food in no way diminishes responsibility to work, but presupposes that not only Jesus' disciples live one day at a time, but we all do. All living by God's hand. It's a lesson easily forgotten when wealth multiplies and absolute self-sufficiency is portrayed as a virtue. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Perhaps truer today than ever before. Especially when we look at the global picture. But what seems amazing is that our asking God for daily bread is somehow worship. In the same way that asking all things in prayer to God who knows our every need is worship. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray for luxury, abundance or excess. He teaches us to pray for bread, not cake. This prayer forms humility inside us. It teaches us to ask for what we need, not everything we want. I sometimes go shopping with Ruth. She's pleased when I do because I push the trolley. And I am amazed at other people's trolleys. Sometimes they are overflowing, usually with alcohol. And I am amazed at the way that we can be such a selfish, over-demanding society. Jesus invites us to a different rhythm of life, one of simplicity, gratitude and contentment. Daily bread is enough, and enough is a blessing. And daily bread leads us to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So when we pray for daily bread, we are also praying for him, his presence, his strength, his word. When I went to Romania, a couple of few journeys that I took out there, you would be served a heaped plate of food. And if you finished it all, you got more. Not like in this country where you say, enough, thank you, I've had enough now. If you finish your plate, you get given more. Imagine being invited to a feast where the host keeps bringing out course after course, and every dish is better than the last. You never leave hungry. That's Jesus. He's the bread that satisfies the soul. He is the nourishment that never runs out. Jesus ultimately is our daily bread. And daily bread as well is a shared prayer. Notice that Jesus teaches us to pray, give us our daily bread, not give me my daily bread. This prayer pulls us out of selfishness into compassion. We are to pray everyone has their daily bread, that the world is fair, because unfortunately it isn't. And then ultimately and finally, bread leads us to the cross. Jesus took bread and broke it to remind us of his body on the cross, an everyday symbol of his great sacrifice for us, ordinary meeting the extraordinary. That's what Jesus is, the bread of life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life, the one who satisfies the hunger of every human heart. Today I come to you with open hands and an open spirit, acknowledging that nothing in this world can nourish me the way you do. Feed me with your presence when I feel empty. Strengthen me with your grace when I feel weak. Sustain me with your truth when I feel uncertain. And fill me with your love when I feel alone. You broke bread for the crowds. You broke bread in the upper room. You broke bread on the Emmaus Road. And every time, eyes were opened and lives changed. Break open my life too, Lord, so that your glory may be seen in me. Where I'm restless, give me peace. Where I'm striving, teach me to trust. Where I'm wandering, draw me back to your table. Make me hungry for righteousness and thirsty for the living water that only you can give. Jesus, bread of heaven, nourish my soul. Shape my desires, reorder my life, and help me to feast on your word until I am strengthened to walk in all your ways. And as you feed me, make me a source of nourishment to others, a presence of kindness, compassion, and hope in a world striving for peace and for grace. I receive you again with gratitude and awe. You, Lord, are enough. You are my portion. You are my life. Amen.